The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor to healthcare.com. And, hi, Frank.
Hi, Jill. So I got a good topic for us today. We're going to talk about how we're going to get through this COVID-19 pandemic in the best possible way. Look, we need better therapeutics. I mean, that's the medicines and treatments you get if you indeed get this illness, so it keeps it under control. Ultimately, we need a vaccine. Everybody knows that. But it's a vaccine that the public accepts as safe and effective. So here's a little word of warning on that. Ignore all the happy talk you're hearing. That's probably still 12 months away. Meantime, what we need is clear and decisive leadership like this. A public school staffer went to a traveling carnival, and school officials had reason to suspect that he'd been exposed to COVID-19. So they ordered him to get tested. You must get tested. And sure enough, he tested positive. What do you think the school official did next? They stopped the virus at the school door. They shut down the school for 2 weeks and tested all 235 students and staff. Really good move. So as our schools and colleges open, I'd like to say that just happened in Falls Village or Mansfield or Wyndham or Danbury, but I can't even say that happened in America, let alone Connecticut. That happened in Bonn, Germany. Now, some might say, hey, come on, closing down a school because one staffer tests positive, that's way overboard. But fact is, German leadership is keeping its citizens as safe as possible. First off, Germany's leader, that's Angela Merkel, she's a scientist, and she has been guided by science from day one, actually before day one. German labs created a COVID-19 test in January, get this, a month before the country had its first case. And it disclosed the formula so German companies, right and left, could start producing massive amounts of test kits. Since March, Germany has had one of the highest testing rates per capita in the world. It's averaging around 600,000 tests a day. If that sounds familiar to you, it's about the same as we're doing in the United States. And Germany's population is one quarter of the United States. So they're doing about the same as the United States with one quarter of the population. Plus, those tests are free, completely free, and Germans get results within 2 days at least, if not a lot quicker. Okay, so here's the payoff. Germany has had a total of only 10,000 deaths. So do the math. If we had that leadership, 140,000 Americans would still be alive. So, Jill, I got a question for you, okay? With the right leadership, how much of Germany's approach could be done here in your estimation?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Do you think any, some?
I really don't have a view.
Okay. I actually think it really does depend on the leadership, but it would be difficult here to impose it. But boy, I wish we were trying. Because look at the nonsense that we're seeing. The mayors of the twin college towns of Mansfield and Wyndham asked Governor Lamont for the power to limit student parties as tens of thousands of students showed up in their towns. I mean, this including, obviously, some people from high-infection states, if not high-infection countries. And the mayors want to just make some cuts here. They want to cut indoor gatherings from 25, that's allowed now in Connecticut, down to 10 for their towns, and outdoor gatherings from 100 down to just 20. So they asked for that permission more than 2 weeks ago, before the kids moved in. And the governor hasn't said no, and he hasn't said yes, okay? Instead, he sent a few extra state police to break up parties. Now, what good is that? What good is that? You want to prevent a big party from starting, not break one up after the kids have had a chance to spread the virus.
I totally understand, and I, it is It is more complicated than top line will lead one to believe, and as you know, because this is anecdotal, but a friend basically Notre Dame opened, and what there was a huge, in quotes, a huge problem apparently, and there was going to be, the kids were going to be sent. Anyway, long short, after a few days had passed, the problem was sorted. It's not a huge problem. Life is going on. And interestingly, and this didn't come out, I just happened to find this, the faculty, rather than basically put their opinion in the local paper, which is, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to be careful. This is what's needed. We have to fix the dashboard so that people actually understand. And everyone has to do what they do, but we're carrying on. And frankly, there hasn't been a peep since. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be in another couple weeks or so, but it started with there is everything to be said for, again, this is just my opinion, for allowing things the chance to sort themselves out, because so many people are different. So many people are, I mean, you have an entire spectrum. It is a, you know, of people who will not still leave their homes or see anybody, to people who have been out and about and traveling and, you know, reasonably careful and exercising personal responsibility, but they've been out and about for 6 months now, and they're ready to move forward.
Well,
and
I'm not saying you should be locked up in your house for the rest of this pandemic. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about prevention. So look, let's get to the bottom line here. All it takes is about 15 minutes of close contact without masks to transmit this highly contagious virus from one person to another. 15 minutes. So if the mayors in those towns want to prevent these gatherings from getting out of hand, that seems like a smart preventive move to make rather than having to chase after it. Okay. And so that's my point of view on that.
Right. But therefore, the cops,
governor
though,
says,
no?
the governor says, and I think you're making a similar argument. He says, look, I don't want to make exceptions for some towns. And then that would lead to a patchwork of rules and that wouldn't be good. But this is a guy who's allowing 130 school districts to make a patchwork of rules about opening the schools. Okay. So, you know, often when you look to Governor Lamont, and I'm sad to say this, but when you look to him for leadership, you get, you know, you kind of get double talk. Take the crisis in Danbury. Let's talk about that. That said, he has had over 200 COVID cases in the past 2 weeks. That's a flare up. Okay. Undoubtedly tied to its large Brazilian community. Not 100% exclusive, but that's a big part. Yet, for whatever politically correct reasons, the mayor and the governor have had a rough time getting on the same page. I mean, the mayor first said that there was a quote-unquote rumor that the outbreak was tied to people coming home from trips to Brazil. But then he said, that's not true, quote-unquote. At the same time, the governor declared the state's first COVID-19 alert for Danbury and said the problem was, and I'm quoting, people coming in from out of the country, perhaps, okay, perhaps, that's the root of the problem. We can go contract case in that community and get it wiped out in Danbury, perhaps. But at the same time, the governor's office issued a warning, okay, to the citizens of Danbury in Portuguese. So it's a big perhaps. So look, whatever those leaders are saying, COVID is spreading rapidly in Danbury. Be careful, you got to travel down that part of the state. If Danbury were a state, it would be on Connecticut's travel advisory list, and its citizens would have to quarantine for 2 weeks if they crossed the border into Connecticut. So look, under the alert, Danbury is now conducting several hundred contact tracing cases, obviously some in the Brazilian community. They've imposed 100% remote learning for their schools until October. That's the public schools. They've closed dorms like they did in Notre Dame and other places. They closed the dorms. They've closed all parks, including Candlewood Lake. They've canceled all youth and adult league sports. Unfortunately, that does not affect high school sports yet because of that mess at the state level. But what's missing are clear standards for when the state should move in and declare a public health alert in a community. And guess what the Department of Public Health said about that? There's a spokesperson there named Alf Harris. He said, quote unquote, "It's not one size fits all." In other words, the Lamont administration needs a patchwork approach for alerts, exactly what it's denying Mansfield and Windham as students party on in their towns. So, Jill, to me, this patchwork approach to patchworks makes no sense. What are your thoughts on this disjointed reaction to outbreaks?
I don't know, practically speaking, any other way. I mean, You can make rules, but and that's all fine. But I was just thinking as you were speaking, you know, the person who goes to Marshall's house first thing in the morning has got to be on time because he has got to start his show. All right. Meaning go to work and you're supposed to show up on time. Bottom line. But the person has to go to Marshall's house on time. That matters. Person who comes to my house, well, again, they're supposed to be on time, but if they're a little late, it doesn't totally knock the thing over. But overall, should you come to work on time? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't see any way practically other than saying, yeah, it's totally ridiculous to have patchwork and not call it patchwork. You know, I'm okay with that. But other than that, I don't see any way because so many situations are different. Unfortunately.
Well, look, we can do better, and let's hope we do better. And we should talk about, while we're talking about things that to me is a bit of nonsense, we should talk about the CDC, because this is ridiculous. This is the latest baloney from the CDC, which, by the way, was once a highly respected institution, but it's tripping all over itself lately. So under pressure from President Trump's to reduce COVID testing, the CDC reversed itself and said people who've been exposed to it, but have no symptoms do not need to be tested. Now, experts just went nuts on that one. They were immediately denounced the CDC for that. They noted that 40% of people with COVID walk around spreading the virus because they have no symptoms. They don't realize they're sick, don't realize they're spreading the virus. So therefore, 50% of all transmissions happen before people have symptoms. So it makes no sense not to test people who have no symptoms and have been exposed. My goodness, that's nonsense. So think of that school back in Bonn, Germany, right? If the school leaders had been following the CDC rules, they allow that worker to come back in from the carnival with COVID, and he mixes in with the 235 kids, and you got a problem. Better yet, think of the teachers and workers in your kids' school. You want tight preventive measures to stop a spread, not to chase after it with contact tracing after it's out of the barn. Now, thankfully, Governor Cuomo, Lamont, even Murphy in New Jersey, they all said, look, we're ignoring the CDC on this one. And Cuomo said, this isn't science, this is politics. And I say this. It's stupid politics. If you decrease testing to look good, you actually increase the number of cases, right? Because the transmission spreads. The hospitalizations go up, and so do the COVID deaths, and you don't look good at all. So please, look, make no mistake about this. The virus is here. It's here in New York. It's here in Connecticut. It's here in Massachusetts. There isn't a second wave. This is the first wave. The virus is still with us. We need better leadership to have it under control, clear, concise direction, and we'll get through it. But without that, it's going to be tougher.
All right. So we've got 1 minute left thereabouts. And what I wanted to ask you about is what's the story with the Yale saliva test?
With the Yale saliva test, it's promising. It could be now. Here's the thing: the quicker you get the results, and you want it quick, right?
The
quicker you get it, the less reliable it is, okay? But let's do it this way. If that saliva test proves out, then you're getting results in 10 or 15 minutes. If you test positive, you may want to go get another test and make sure you really have it. Okay.
Right.
And it will allow testing like in nursing homes where the staffers ought to be tested twice a week. Maybe we can even start testing teachers at least weekly, because it's very inexpensive. It's only $10-15 as opposed to about $150.
Yeah, and maybe so, I misunderstood, yeah, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, I really hope it proves out.
I really thought that it was it had more to do with the students and teachers also. That's what I thought. I thought it was going to be used in that area.
Well, it will first. Yeah, it will first. But if that proves out, that there are not, Yale is not the only one working
right.
on a rapid test like that. It's being worked on all over the world, actually.
Yep.
So, yeah, once it's proved out, then you've got a test, if it's reliable, that only costs $10 or $15 and you get results in 10 minutes. And that makes life a lot easier. To get through this pandemic. So let's hope for that. Let's hope these vaccines prove out too. But in the meantime, let's have clear direction from our leaders as best they can so that we know how to conduct our lives and get you guys to work on time.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in stores, and on my desk.